Testament, the Bible says that the church is the house of God. It says that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And the Bible tells us here that when we go to the house of God, we should be ready to hear. And that's what I want to preach about this morning, is being ready to hear. How are we going to be ready to hear? Keep your finger in Ecclesiastes 5, because we're going to come back there. But look at Luke chapter 8 in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke. We'll be right back in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. But in Luke 8, verse 18, because if he's telling us to be ready to hear, I'm going to give you some ways of how to be ready to hear. How to come to church prepared to hear the preaching of God's Word. Look at Luke 8, 18. The Bible says this, "Take heed, therefore, how ye hear." He says, look, don't just come in and sit down and plop down and just kind of tune in or whatever. He says, no, you better be careful and take earnest heed and pay attention to this. He said, make an effort to make sure that you hear properly. Take heed how ye hear. Why? Because he says, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. If you don't listen, he's saying, you're actually going to lose knowledge. You can come to church week after week and know less and less and less because you're not listening to what's being preached. That's why Jesus Christ said over and over again, he that hath an ear, let him hear. He said, listen to me. He was preaching. And he said, look, listen to what I'm saying. Don't just tune me out. Don't just let it go in one ear and out the other. Jesus was constantly begging people to hear what he was saying, to listen, to pay careful attention, and to learn what he had to preach. Look, if you would, at Ecclesiastes 5, where we were. He said, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Now, this is all introduction, but he says, look, when you go to God's house, you may have something to offer. You know, you may throw some money in the offering plate. Or maybe you were one that volunteered this week. And man, we appreciate all the great volunteers. I can't even believe how much construction work we got done in 2 days. I mean, we were done on Tuesday night. I was just hoping we'd be partially done by Wednesday night. We were pretty much completely done on Tuesday night. Wednesday was just cleaning and organizing because we had so many people working and contributing. And, you know, you ought to come to church to not just take in, but also, you know, to contribute, to get out there, knock doors out on soul winning, and to, you know, help out with a project like that, and, you know, throw money in the offering plate or whatever you choose to do. But here's the thing. You ought to be more ready to hear than any of those things. You know, because sometimes you can come here and get so busy doing all the work and out knocking the doors and you're helping and doing everything. But wait a minute, you need to come to church and learn the Bible. That's what it's all about. And sometimes people get so busy doing the work that they don't listen. Now, I was thinking of a guy that went to a church that we used to go to. And this guy was at church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. But he never was inside the auditorium during the preaching. Okay? This guy, I don't know, this guy was a little different. Okay? He would just stand outside the building and watch the cars in the parking lot. You know, he said, I just want to watch it, make sure that, you know, nobody's breaking into any cars or anything. Hold on a second. You know, that guy needs to be in church at some point and hear some preaching and learn something. I mean, if somebody needs to watch the parking lot, you know, they could have cycled somebody through, but this guy, no, I'm doing it. You know, he just never got the preaching. He never listened. He'd show up for church and never listen. You know, and you say, oh, but he was doing a good work. But hold on a second. You remember the story of Mary and Martha? You remember how the two sisters, and they were very dear to Jesus, they were actually some of his best friends, were Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. This family, it was brothers and sisters, and he loved these people. They were some of his closest friends. And when Jesus was at their house one time, Martha was in the kitchen, and she was cooking all kinds of food, and she was making all kinds of desserts and everything, and feeding the whole group. And Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet listening. And Martha came out and got mad and said, hey, I'm doing all the work here. What's, you know, why is she just sitting here and doing nothing? And she said, Jesus, would you tell her to help me? And you know what? Jesus said, no. He said, she's chosen the better part here. She knows that more important is to listen and to hear what I, you know, the Son of God that was physically on this earth, Jesus Christ, had to say. She wanted to get the teaching. She wanted to get the preaching. She wanted to hear what he had to say. And so, yes, it's great to do the works, and we ought to be a church that works hard, and we are a church that works hard, and I want to work hard for God, but not at the expense of listening. Let's keep reading. He says, be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. Now look, giving a sacrifice is great, but if you give the sacrifice and don't listen, then it's the sacrifice of fools. So he says, they consider not, they do evil. You know, and that's most of the time the case. When people do things that are wrong, they don't know they're doing it. You know, because they're wise in their own eyes. But look at verse number 2. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Like basically saying something stupid and then saying it was an accident. Whoops. He says, wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the works of thy hands? So God's saying here, look, it's very important that you are not too prideful and wise in your own eyes to where you come to church and you think that you know everything and you don't need to listen. He says you need to come and be ready to hear, ready to learn something. Three ways to be ready to hear. Let's turn to the first one. Number one, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. This is how you can prepare yourself to hear. Because God said, more important than throwing money in the plate, more important than giving a gift or a sacrifice or of your time and your labor and energy, is that you come to church ready to hear. That's the most important thing, he said. He told Mary it was more important. He told Martha it was more important. Hearing what God has to say is more important. And that's the first point. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, the Bible reads this. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when ye received the word of God, of course that's talking about the Bible, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Number one, when you're coming to church to hear the word of God preached, you better start out by acknowledging the fact that it's God's word that's being preached. Don't just sit there and think, oh, this is just an opinion. And let me tell you something. Some of the things I say are opinion. And if you disagree with my opinions, you are more than entitled to disagree with my opinions. If I say something that's just my take on things, my opinion, what I think. But hold on. A large part of my sermons are preaching the Bible. Directly from the Bible, stating and explaining truths that are found in the Bible. And when you come to church, you need to come in and say, wait a minute, it's not just Pastor Anderson that's going to be speaking to me. Yes, Pastor Anderson will speak to me. Yes, a lot of the words that are coming across the pulpit are going to be Pastor Anderson's words, and we're going to get to those in the second point. But acknowledge the fact that there's another person that's going to be speaking to you when you come to church, and that is God that's speaking. Because let me tell you something. If I stand up here and read word for word out of this book, like we did at the beginning of the service, before I started preaching, I read a whole chapter in the Bible. That's not Pastor Stephen Anderson speaking. I didn't write those words. I'm not the author of those words. I am just a tool being used by God to vocalize those words to you this morning. I'm just telling you what God said. And you've got your Bible, hopefully, in your lap. That's one way to be ready to hear. Bring your Bible to church if you can. Bring a Bible, and then you can look down at the Bible and verify what I'm saying and take it as God's word. And so many times people will come to church and get angry at what's preached. And oftentimes they're not angry at the man who's preaching it. They're angry at what the Bible says. Because the Bible says it, we can't just sit there and say, well, I disagree. Well, who are you to reply against God? Amen. Who am I to look at something in the Bible and say, well, I don't agree with that? Who am I? I mean, good night. The Bible says we are but of yesterday. I mean, in the scheme of things, we came on the scene yesterday. We've been brainwashed by TV our whole life. We've been brainwashed by the radio. We've been brainwashed by the school system. We've been brainwashed from day one. Who are we to think that we know everything and we're going to sit here in judgment of God's Word? We ought to come with an attitude. Look at verse 13 where we just read. He said, when you received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, the Word of God that we preached, he says, ye received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. Now you have to be able to differentiate. When I'm preaching, that's my words. But when I'm reading from the Bible, that's God's Word. And that's not something that you should even be deciding. Oh, you know, I don't know about that. You know what? Church is for believers, by the way. You know, and we welcome unbelievers to come to the service. But we gear the sermon toward believers. It's the house of God. It's an assembly of believers here, Christians that come together. And so that's predominantly who I'm usually preaching to. Unbelievers listen in. But Christians here, if we believe the Bible, we ought to come and say, you know what? If that's what God says, I'm just going to believe it. Whether it flies in the face of what I think, or whether it offends me, or whether it applies to some sin that I have in my life, if it's God's Word, you've got to be ready to receive it as such, number one. But number two, look if you would at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You're in chapter 2, just go a couple pages over. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says this, in verse 19, quench not the Spirit. Verse 20, despise not prophesying, which is talking about preaching. And then look what he says in verse 21, right after talking about prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Turn to Acts 17. Matthew, Mark, Luke, Acts. Acts 17, about halfway through the New Testament, the book of Acts. Acts chapter 17. You see, the Bible said to prove all things. To test is what he means there. Test all things. Make sure they line up with the Bible. So number one, be ready to hear by acknowledging, hey, it's not just Pastor Anderson preaching to me. When he opens this book and reads from it and says, thus saith the Lord, that's God speaking. And we need to receive it as such. We need to be ready to hear the voice of God. And not to just say, well, I don't feel like listening to what Pastor Anderson said. Then don't listen to what I say, but listen to what God says when you show up here for church. God's the one speaking to you this morning when we're in the Bible. But he says in, where did I have you turn? Acts 17, verse 11. Look what it says here. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. So they were ready to hear, weren't they? Their mind was ready to hear God's Word preached. They wanted to hear it. They were receiving it as God's Word. It said they were ready. He said, let me find my place here. He said they received the Word with all readiness of mind. And what was the second thing they did? And searched the Scriptures daily. Searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. So number two, you need to be ready to come and discern whether what's being preached is biblical or not. That's the second thing you need to do. Number one, you need to understand God's going to be speaking to you. But number two, you need to be ready to discern whether or not what's being preached is biblical. But here's the problem. People will show up to church and they didn't search the Scriptures daily, and then they want to come in and discern whether what's being preached is biblical. You know, and they got half the verse here, but they got the wrong half. They'd be better off with the half on searching the Scriptures. So don't come in here and say, well, I'm going to see whether I agree with this or not. Well, hold on. Have you been searching the Scriptures every day? Have you read the Bible cover to cover even one time? I mean, if the Bible says, man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, you've got to read every word. And then you've got to read it again and read it again. And it's great to come to church with an attitude that says, hey, I want to make sure that what's being preached is biblical, but you can't do that unless you've searched the Scriptures daily. And if you're not reading your Bible every day, if you haven't read every word, you're not going to be able to do that, and you're not going to be ready to hear. Because one of two things will happen. You'll either come in and just be a blind follower, just a blind sheep that just says, whatever the preacher says is always right. That's not what God wants you to do. Because what if I preach something that's not right? Or what if some other preacher, what if you go to some other church someday and some preacher teaches you something that's not right? So if you don't search the Scriptures daily, number one, you'll just become a blind follower sheep that is not even making sure that what's being preached is even biblical. But number two, the other danger is you'll come in here cocky, arrogant, prideful, you know, thinking that everything that's preached is wrong because you know what, but you didn't really search it out like you should. And so you've got to search the Scriptures daily. And he says, wait a minute, be careful too blowing off your mouth. Do you remember in Ecclesiastes 5? He said, don't just blow off your mouth. Don't just come in and start saying stuff. Oh, whoops, you know, I guess I shouldn't have said that, you know. He said, shut up. You know, shut up, listen, learn, read. And he said, then you'll have the discernment to know whether what's being preached is biblical or not. And so the first way to be ready to hear is, you know, you got to be ready to hear from God, not just from man, but from God, from God's Word. And hopefully you're going to a church where the Bible is what's being preached. But number two, you've got to come ready to judge the preaching and hold it against your personal Bible reading that you do every day to make sure that you're not just blindly swallowing whatever's fed to you, but that you actually know whether it's biblical or not. And then on the flip side of that is, don't come in here and judge and discern when you don't even know what you're talking about because you didn't read it. So that's the dynamic there. When you come into church, you want to hear God's Word and you want to make sure it lines up with God's Word. Now, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're in Acts. Go Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. I remember when my wife and I first started dating. You know, she was just brand new to church. She had just gotten saved just within a few days of coming to church. Brand new to church, brand new to being saved, didn't know anything about the Bible. And one of the first things she did was she memorized the order of the books of the Bible. Within just a couple days of being saved, she memorized the order. And it used to be so funny because the pastor would call out, you know, turn to so-and-so. And she'd get this look on her face like this. She'd be like, you know, and then she'd find it. Like she'd have to go through it real quick, like, you know, Romans, Corinthians, okay, you know. Because she wanted to be able to turn. But, you know, thank God she was ready to hear. Thank God that just within a few days of being saved, she knew the importance of coming to church and looking it up, you know, following along. And so it was so great to see her take the time to memorize the order, because she's like, I want to be able to find it. And she would get this funny look on her face for a couple seconds, like, yes, you know, I know where it is. Yeah. And she turned there. So you want to be ready to hear. You want to be ready to check it with God's Word. You want to be ready to judge the preaching. Now you say, wait a minute, I thought the Bible says never judge. Wrong. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 29. The Bible says, let the prophets, and a prophet is just another word for a preacher. It said, let the prophets speak two or three. That's how many preachers you should have preaching, maximum. You know, maybe two preachers, maybe three. But he says, and let the other judge. You see that? The listener is there to judge. Now you say, you know, we shouldn't judge. The Bible says, judge righteous judgment. He said, judge not after the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. And so you ought to be judging what you hear. And in order to judge it, you're going to have God's Word in your mind. You're going to have it in your hand. You're going to have to know what it says to be able to judge whether or not what you're hearing is biblical, whether it's right, and so forth. But thirdly, this. Turn to James chapter 1. James chapter number 1. First of all, you've got to come to church ready to hear from God. Number two, you've got to come ready to discern and decide and to judge whether what's being preached is biblical. And that involves reading through your Bible cover to cover multiple times. And it also involves reading it daily. It said they searched the Scriptures daily. They were ready to hear. They wanted to learn. They wanted to hear from God. But they searched daily to make sure what they were hearing was scriptural. But look at James chapter 1, verse 19. It says in James 1, 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, quick to hear, he's saying, ready to hear. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Wrath means anger. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So number three, you need to listen with meekness. Okay? What does it mean to be meek? Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is humility. Meekness doesn't mean that you're a weakling or that you don't have any authority or that you're a wimp. It just means that you're humble. It means that you don't think that you know everything. He said here, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and look at the next one, slow to wrath. He's saying, look, part of being ready to hear God's word is not to just come in and be just get mad at what's preached. Because look, there's a lot of preaching that comes across this pulpit that makes people mad. What do you mean that's right? It's true though. I mean, there's a lot of preaching that comes across this pulpit that's going to offend people. That's going to make people mad. Because the truth always divides people. The Bible says the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and center, of the joints and spirit, as the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Jesus said, think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. He said, I came not to bring peace. He said, I came to bring division. He said, God's word will set a man at variance against his father in many cases, the daughter against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes will be they of his own household. That's not a popular verse, but the Bible says that God's word always brings division. You remember Genesis 1 that we just finished memorizing? How many times did it say God divided? God spoke. And God divided. Because God's word is divisive. And everybody says, say, don't be divisive. Even the modern Bible versions like the New King James say, reject the divisive man. Well, okay, reject Jesus. Because that's the most divisive person that ever walked on this earth. The Bible says in John chapter 7, there was a division among the people because of him. Because part of the people believe the truth, and part of the people don't care what the truth is. And will never receive the truth. And that's always going to cause division when you preach the truth. And so you got to be careful that you don't come to church on a hair trigger, swift to anger, just ready to just get, oh, I can't believe he'd say that. Because the preaching will offend you if that's how you are. Because there is a lot of things in the Bible, and it's not me that's doing it. There are a lot of things in the Bible that are downright offensive in our wicked and adulterous generation that we live in. And when they come across the pulpit, the tendency is for people to get mad at the messenger and to shoot the messenger and say, oh, how dare he? Instead of getting angry, be swift to hear. That's where steps one and step two kick in. You stop and say, wait a minute, I'm not just going to get mad here. You know, he just told me that I'm this and I'm that, and that, you know, and he's talking about stuff I've done and saying it's sin and wicked and wrong and everything. You know, hold on a second. Let me slow down here. Let me listen to what he's saying. Let me look in my Bible. Let me look at the verses that he's using. Let me follow along in my Bible. And let's see whether this is really true or not. Because guess what? You might be wrong. And that's where the meekness comes in. It takes meekness to admit, hey, I'm wrong. And look, I've been wrong about things in the past and admitted I was wrong. And then other times I was wrong and didn't necessarily want to admit that I was wrong. Because no one likes to admit that they're wrong. It's going to take a lot of humility, a lot of character, a lot of meekness to admit, hey, I was wrong here. I made a mistake. And so when you come into church and you hear something preached that goes against what you used to think or you used to believe or what you've always heard, instead of getting angry, just listen, just perk up even more, listen more carefully, and check the Bible and search the Scriptures and see whether what I've said is right. And if what I've said isn't right, if you search the Scriptures and see that it's wrong, then hey, disregard. But you know what? I'm not swift to speak up here. The things that I preach, I've studied over the years and I've tested them and proved them to make sure that what I preach is right. Does that mean everything I say will always be right? No, because I'm a human being. But you need to be more swift to hear than to just lash out in anger. He says, the wrath of man, slow to wrath, he said, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. And so you've got to be meek and to realize, hey, I don't know everything. Boy, lately we've been knocking doors, and how many people we've run into. We knocked on a door, and this guy told us, he said, well, I don't go to church because I pretty much know more than any preacher. You know what I mean? And I pretty much just, see you later, because I thought to myself, well, I can't teach this guy anything. He already knows everything. But do you think that guy really knew everything? He probably doesn't even know less than 1% of this book. But he thinks he knows everything. And you can't teach somebody something when they already know everything. You know, or sometimes people will look at me and say, you know, how old are you? You know, I'll be out soul winning, and I'll knock their door, and they're just, you know, how old are you? You know, I'll ask him a question, just a real simple question, like, hey, if you were to die today, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? No. I think so. I'm trying, you know. And then I say, well, can I show you from the Bible, you know, real quick, how you can know for sure? How old are you? 29 years old.
Well, I've been reading the Bible longer than you've even been alive.
I mean, I've had a couple people tell me that the last few weeks. Brothers say, grow with it. You know, I've been reading the Bible longer than you've even been alive. Well, that's pretty sad since you don't even know if you're going to heaven or not. And that's kind of the most basic thing. That's John 3:16. It's on the bottom of the cup at In-N-Out Burger. You know what I mean? And you're going to tell me you've been reading the Bible longer than I've been alive. Well, I've been eating an In-N-Out Burger before they even opened up in Arizona. You know? So there. Because I was raised in California. But the point is, people have an attitude of knowing everything, and God's saying, no, you need to come to church with meekness. Because guess what? Yeah, Pastor Anderson is 29 years old, but I also have half the New Testament memorized. You know, and that I have knowledge, okay? If I didn't have knowledge, I wouldn't be up here. I'd sit down and shut up and listen to somebody who had knowledge. And I'm here to tell you something. You don't want to sit there. And you know, then they'll go to another church and say the pastor's too old. He's too old. Everybody at that church is old, you know. And then they, oh, he's too young. Listen, Goldilocks. Not every pastor is exactly 45 years old. You know, some are young. Every old preacher started out young. Every 45-year-old was once 29. And every 29-year-old will eventually be 74 or die or whatever. But the point is that you need to come and say, hey, I can learn something from the Bible. I'm here. I don't know everything. And I don't care whether you're 90 years old listening to me right now. You can still learn from what I have to preach. I guarantee that.
Amen.
Don't just sit there and say, well, when you were still, your mama was still wiping your nose. Look, the Bible is older than both of us. That's what I've often told people. I'll knock on the door and they'll say, well, how old are you? And I'll just say, well, this book is older than both of us. And I said, I wasn't going to try to tell you anything that I believe. I was just going to show you what the Bible says. You know, can I just show you a couple verses from the Bible? It really has nothing to do with me. It's not about me. The sermon's not about me. The sermon's about God's Word. Okay? And that's what matters. And so we've got to be ready to listen with meekness. Ready to listen with humility, saying, hey, I don't know everything. You know, I'm here to learn. I want to see what God has for me this morning. But number four, look at verse 22. It says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law, of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So the fourth point about listening to preaching, be ready to do what you hear. Don't come to just listen and learn. Come to listen and learn and then put it into practice and then do it. Because he says, if you're a hearer of the word and not a doer, if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he said he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Talking about looking in the mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. He says, you're either one of two things. You're a forgetful hearer, or you're a doer of the work. He says, if you listen to preaching and you're not putting it into practice, you will forget what you've heard. You'll be a forgetful hearer. Remember what we read earlier in the sermon in Luke 8, 18? He said, take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. He says, if you don't listen right, you'll forget things. You'll lose knowledge. And when you come to church and just listen and listen and listen, but you don't do it, you don't put it into practice, you are not learning anything and you'll forget what you've heard. I mean, think about it. How many times you go to school and learn so many things in school? All kinds of elaborate math and algebra. Who took algebra 2? At least you took algebra 2. You know, who can come up here and work an algebra 2 problem? You know, from the final. You know, and the hand that goes up is somebody who uses it in his job. You know, he uses math heavily in his job. You see what I'm saying here? Why can't you do all that algebra? because I haven't done it in 10 years. Back then, I could have done it easily. But if you don't use it, you lose it. Same thing with a foreign language. You might speak fluently a foreign language. If you quit speaking it for a few years, it'll just start to go out of your memory. You'll forget it. It's the same thing with God's Word. There are people who've gone to church for 20, 30, 40 years, and they listen, and they listen, and they listen, and they never do anything for God. And then you talk to that person, and it's like they don't even understand basic biblical truths that they used to understand. They know less after 20 years in church than they knew after 5 years in church, because they stopped doing the work. They're not doing it. And therefore, they're a forgetful hearer. And Jesus said in Luke 8:18, you better take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. He says, you'll lose knowledge if you don't take heed how you hear. You've got to hear and be ready to put it into practice. That means if you hear the pastor preach out of God's Word, and he exposes something to you, hey, that's a sin, then the way to do that would be to get that sin out of your life. You know, let's say I'm preaching upon the sin of covetousness, or lust, as the Bible calls it. Covetousness, one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet. It says that if you look at something that belongs to someone else and wish that it belonged to you, that's a sin. Most people don't even know that that's a sin. But literally, if you say, man, I wish I had his car. Man, I wish I had his wife. Man, I wish I had his job. That is a wicked thought. The Bible says we're to be content with such things as we have. Now, if you hear that preached, that means you should say, okay, how am I going to apply this to my life? How am I going to do what I'm hearing? I need to make sure that the love of money doesn't creep into my life. The love of money is the root of all evil, the Bible says. And that I don't become a covetous person that desires what belongs to everyone else. I want their money. I'm discontented with my wife. I'm discontented with my house. I'm discontented with my job. And I just want what belongs to someone else. Hey, I don't want to be that kind of person. I'm going to put that preaching into practice. And you say, well, how do I put this sermon into practice? By coming to church ready to hear. By reading your Bible every day. By reading your Bible cover to cover. These are some of the things I preached directly out of the Bible this morning. You have to be ready to hear these things, learn them, and then put them into practice and say, okay, tomorrow morning I'm going to wake up and read my Bible. But if you don't, a few weeks will go by and you'll never remember this sermon. Now, if you start tomorrow reading your Bible every day, like the Bible said we should read it daily, and if you start on Monday, August 23rd, reading the Bible every single day for the rest of your life, you'll never forget this sermon. You'll remember this sermon. Oh yeah, that's when I started reading my Bible. You'll remember that sermon. But otherwise, we'll ask you a month from now, what was preached? You know, what? You know, we'll ask you tonight. What was the morning sermon? You know, you're all right. But if you made some change, if you made some decision, if you put it into practice in your life, you will remember the sermon. And if you know, when you hear tonight's sermon, if you put it into practice, you'll remember it. You'll learn it. You've got to do the work. You've got to hear and then turn around and do in order to internalize and retain what you've learned. And so you've got to be ready when there's a sin that's preached against. Get it out of your life. Grow. Don't just go to church just the same every week. You've got to grow. You've got to get the sin out of your life. If you hear a sermon that's talking about the importance of where he said, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, you know, then you ought to say, you know what, I'm going to become a fisher of men. Jesus said, if you follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. If he says, look, go out and give the gospel. Get people saved. Preach them the gospel. Open your mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. You ought to walk out of here and say, hey, I need to learn how to do that. I ought to go out soul winning, maybe as a silent partner with some of these guys, and have the humility to let someone teach me how to knock the door and give somebody the gospel. Hey, I need to be giving the gospel to my friends and family. I need to be giving the gospel to my co-workers on the job. I need to put this word into practice. Otherwise, what is the point in even coming here? I've seen people come to church and then walk out of church and go live like a whore and a whoremonger and go out and live exactly like this wicked world and not win anybody to Christ, not do anything for God. Nothing ever changed about their life. And I just said to somebody last night that I was talking to about someone, I said, why did that person even come to church when they live in an adulterous relationship? Why would you go to church? Who are you? You think you're fooling God? I mean, get real. You got to come to church ready to hear. And I don't care how much money you put in that plate. I don't care how many hours you spend out soul winning. I don't care how much work you do on this building. If you're going to come to church and then go out of here and just live a wicked and sinful life, not care what the pastor preaches, not care what God's Word says, not care about making any changes in your life to try to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you're wasting your time. Because you've missed out on the big thing, which is hearing. That's what the church is about here. Hearing. Hearing and then doing. And so you got to be ready to hear. It's not going to happen by accident. The Bible says in Proverbs 1:5, you don't have to turn there, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation. The words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The wise person loves to learn. They come to church, they want to learn something new. I mean, I wouldn't go to a church if I never learned anything new. I mean, if I went week after week after week and I wasn't learning anything new, I'm not going to waste my time. I'll go find a church where I can learn something. Because a wise man loves and thirsts and hungers for learning. And he comes to church and he's got his Bible and he turns to the Scriptures and he wants to listen and learn and get something new. Because there's plenty of new things in this Bible. Not new under the sun, but they're new to you. You haven't heard before. You know, to learn and to get more and to get more. Not to just go somewhere that makes them feel good or they like the music or it's fun and the friends. And the no, they want to learn something. And they want to learn it so that they can do it, so they can use it. If you're wise, that's what you'll do. You'll come to church and say, I want to go to the place where I'm learning the most. And it's funny, nobody's ever quit our church and said, I just wasn't learning anything. Never. And let me tell you something, there are a lot of people who quit this church. If they were all here right now, every person who's ever been through the revolving door of Faith Forward Baptist Church, you know, this building could not contain them. Even if we jam them into every nook and cranny and everywhere. I mean, literally thousands of people have been to our church at one time or another. Literally. I mean, more than 1,000, for sure. Guaranteed. Easily. But they all left for one reason or another. You know, they all, maybe they just visited one time. Maybe they came for a while and then quit coming. And they left for a variety of reasons, but no one ever said, I left because I wasn't learning anything. They either left because, oh, the preacher, you know, too radical. Or they left because they said, you know, they disagreed with this or disagreed with that or what. You know, which is fine, you know. Have a good time, you know. Or we didn't have a Christian school for them to put their kid in or whatever, you know. And we're never going to, by the way. But, you know, everybody has their little reasons. Or, you know, there weren't enough people in their age bracket or not enough people with kids. It's like, well, that's what the next person's going to say, you know. It's like... So, you know, whatever the reason, you know, there was this one guy showed up because there were no guys in their early 20s. And he was looking for friends his age, and he said, oh, there's nobody really my age. You know, now we got like, what, 10 guys in that age group? But he came and didn't have the right friends for him. You know, everybody's got a reason for leaving, but nobody's ever left our church because they're not learning anything. You know, and it just shows sometimes a lack of priority. They'll go somewhere where they literally learn nothing. I mean, literally. I'm not just exaggerating. I mean, they literally learn nothing that they didn't already know. And by the way, just so you know, learning is when you know something that you didn't know when you walk out the door. I know that's rudimentary, but still. Because some people will ask him, what'd you learn in church today? Oh, you know, Jesus died on the cross. Did you already know that? All right, well, thank God you learned. But, you know, didn't you already know that Jesus died on the cross? Then you didn't learn that. Does everybody understand the difference? Okay. What'd you learn about today? Oh, I'm supposed to love my neighbor. Did you already know that? Yeah. Okay, so what'd you learn? You know, and you want to go somewhere where you're learning. And, you know, maybe the... preacher's going to step on your toes sometimes, and you're going to hear things that make you bristle a little bit, but that's part of the learning process. It can be painful to learn. It's true. Because, you know, learning sometimes involves replacing some of the ideas that you got ingrained in you. And look, I don't want you to just follow me or believe me. You remember point two? I said, sit in judgment of me. I'm not one of these that'll say, don't judge. I'll say, judge me. You know, I'll put myself out here right now and say, I want everybody to judge me. Stand in judgment. But first, read the Bible every day. First, read the Bible cover to cover multiple times. Know what you're talking about. Then judge my preaching. And I'll be glad to be judged. I'll be glad. People said recently, because I was just declared not guilty by a jury down in Yuma for standing up for my rights as an American. You know, they thought I was not guilty of that, praise the Lord. For some people on that jury that believe in America, you know, believe in freedom. And, you know, people talked about, they said, oh yeah, you know, they've tried to do a smear campaign on Pastor Anderson and go, you know, and get out all his preaching stuff. And I told the person who said that, I said, well, it's not a smear campaign, because I'm not ashamed of anything I preach. You know, they wanted to play my sermons in the courtroom, and the lawyer is fighting them so that they don't play my sermons, because they said this is irrelevant to the case. They're just trying to taint the jury by playing controversial sermons just to get people mad at him or whatever. But I turned around to where's Chris Brock? I turned around to Chris Brock and I said to Ryan, I said, hey, maybe they're going to hear some good preaching. Whatever. I mean, on one hand, I wanted to win. You know, I wanted to be declared not guilty. And, you know, sometimes you can take things out of context and make me sound like a raving lunatic. But, you know, they take out all the Bible verses is what they do, by the way. Whenever anybody tries to put me on the radio and TV, they take out all the Bible verses so it sounds like I'm up here just ranting and raving. When really it all came from the Bible. You know, but they edit all that out. And they want to play that stuff to taint the jury. I'm just thinking, hey, I am not ashamed of my preaching. I'm the one who put it on the internet. You think I'm going to be upset when you play it on TV and play it on the radio? Hey, I'm the one that put it on the internet because I'm willing to be judged by this wicked and adulterous generation. Stand in judgment of me. Go ahead. Point the finger at me. And so I will challenge you today at Faith Forward Baptist Church. Come to church and be judgmental of me. You have my permission to come to church and decide whether what I'm preaching is right. But measure me with the measuring stick of the Bible, because this is a Bible-believing Baptist church. And I will be judged by this measure right here. I will stand up to this, and I'm willing to be judged by this, and if I need to be corrected or changed, I'll do it. I'll have the meekness to do it. And so, number one, just a quick review, come to church ready to hear from God. This is God speaking. This is God's word when I'm reading out of this book. Number two, come to church ready to judge. Ready to discern whether what's being preached is biblical. Not whether you like it or not. Not whether it makes you feel good, but is it biblical? Okay. Number three, come to church with a meek and humble attitude that says, hey, I want to learn something. I don't know it all. I want to be a teachable person. And number four, come to church ready to make the changes necessary. Ready to hear and do. And if you put these four into practice, you will be taking heed how you hear. And this is where we started, Ecclesiastes 5:1. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God and be more ready to hear. Hopefully this sermon will help you to be more ready to hear. Tonight's sermon, if you come back tonight. Tonight's sermon, I'm not going to lie to you, is going to be a really controversial sermon. And let me tell you something. If you're not ready to hear, you know, if you're still one that can only handle the milk of the word, you know, you better come tonight ready to hear. You better come tonight if you show up tonight. If you have the guts to show up tonight. No, just kidding. I'm just trying to play it out, you know, build it up. You have the guts to be here tonight. And guess what? Tonight's sermon, I mean, I got the outline right here. I mean, it's like 7 pages of straight Bible. I mean, I'm not even going to get to all the Bible. It's not going to be my opinion tonight. It's going to be a lot of Bible. And let me tell you something. If you come to the sermon with your head straight out of American Idol and your head straight out of all the worldly garbage and TV and movies and rock and roll you listen to, this sermon is not going to fly with you tonight. But if you come ready to hear, you'll get something important tonight. And so be ready to hear. And next Sunday morning, Wednesday night, you know, just be ready to hear. Don't waste a single service. Because if you come here and just sleep and whatever, you're wasting your time. Be ready to hear. Let's bow our eyes and have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word, dear God. I thank you that I have your word to preach. I thank you that I'm not just a raving lunatic up here just yelling and screaming about my opinion, dear God. Thank you that we have the word of God to anchor our souls on. Everything we believe, dear God, stands upon the rock of your word that never changes. This world changes. Everybody's politics and philosophies change with the tides and the ebb and flow. But God, we are founded upon the rock. We are steadfast and unmovable because we have your word. And we thank you for it, dear God. Help us all to be ready every single week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, to hear your word as it's preached, to pay attention to what's being said, to listen carefully and not to be swift to anger, but to be slow to anger, slow to wrath, not to get mad at what we hear, but to be ready to take it, to judge it, to chew on it, to measure it against the Bible, and then let's do it. Help us, dear God, to do so. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.